Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Mary Irene Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio, and this show is a celebration of baby boomers who are embracing life as we grow older. And one of the true joys in life is sharing memorable stories with our middle grade grandchildren, especially those books that are both thought-provoking and a great read. And that's where today's guest comes in. Aida Salazar is an award-winning author and arts activist whose writings for adults, children, and middle grade readers explore issues of identity and social justice. Her previous books include The Moon Within, Land of the Cranes, A Seed in the Sun, In the Spirit of a Dream, and Jovita Wore Pants, The Story of a Mexican Freedom Fighter. These books have garnered both critical acclaim as well as a major fan base of young readers. And one of her short stories, By the Light of the Moon, was even adapted into a ballet production. So Aida truly is a woman of the arts. And she's joining us today to share all about her latest book entitled Ultraviolet, Sometimes Life Explodes in Technicolor. What a great title, and I can't wait to find out more. Welcome, Aida.
Thank you so much for having me, Leslie. It's such a pleasure.
Well, my pleasure is mine, and I'd like to start off by really congratulating you on all of your success as an author. It must be really moving to know that your words have meant so much to both critics and readers alike.
Yeah, it has. It has. It's one of the funnest parts of writing for children is knowing that you've touched somebody's heart. So absolutely.
Well, you've touched people's heart, and also you have a message that is profound and so needed in the world today. And I'm thinking that's got to feel good to know that, you know, your reach has been out there and maybe you can change some lives and help people, you know, relook at some of the things that, you know, maybe some prejudices they've had or some things, some blind spots mm-hmm. they've got in their own lives and help to form young people to hopefully improve things down the line.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, that's part of the heart of what I, or the inspiration behind why I do what I do. I have always kind of, since I was a little girl, wanted to make things right. As a middle child of seven, I always knew and understood kind of like a justice, an idea of justice, even from like within our family and outside of it. And so as a writer, writing about our wounds, writing about moments that need healing or places that need healing are absolutely part and parcel of my intention and inspiration to write.
Well, and I will say, you know, my audience is older generally than you are, and you know, some of your fan base. And as baby boomers, mm-hmm. We might not know so much about you and your work. This might be the first introduction to a lot of people in our audience. So, can you share a little bit about your personal history? You just mentioned growing up a middle child of seven, but what led mm-hmm. you to become an author?
Well, you know, interestingly, when I was in the fifth grade, so I was born in Mexico. Let me start there. I was born in Mexico and was raised in the United States in a mixed status family, meaning half of us were undocumented and half of us were citizens until I was about 13 when we all were able to receive our residency. But then, you know, so my parents being very working class, you know, straddling the poverty line in the United States, didn't really have a tradition of reading. And it wasn't until I was in the fifth grade that my fifth grade teacher gave me a novel to read. And that novel made me fall in love with writing and reading, rather. And I read one after another of his books in the classroom library, and I finished by the end of fifth grade. And when I graduated from the fifth grade, he gave me two things. He gave me a pen, a Parker pen. I'm sure people will remember a Parker pen because this was 40 years ago. And then he gave me a book by Shel Silverstein called Where Those Sidewalk Ends. And that really kind of was the first seed that was ever planted, the first encouragement that I could be a writer. And I've followed that trajectory and eventually got a master's degree in writing. But it wasn't until 20 years after I graduated from my master's degree in 2019 when I published my first book. And so it's been a really long journey of waiting and practicing and failing and, you know, being resilient. And then with The Moon Within, my first book, it was 2019, and there I was. I was off.
Oh, my gosh, Aida, I mean, your story, I kind of have tears in my eyes hearing that. Have you ever been able to touch base back with that teacher that gave you the Parker Pan?
Yes, I just found him. I haven't, we texted because he is now retired in Long Beach and in California, and in Southern California, rather. But I live in Northern California, so I haven't been able to be in the same space with him, but we've been in touch, and he remembered me. I have one picture of us, and I treasure that picture.
Absolutely, Aida. Well, I sure hope you, I bet, talk about, you know, being touched, I bet that for both of you, a meeting would be so meaningful. And, oh, my gosh, what a wonderful story of courage, perseverance, and, you know, knowing you had an art and a message to convey, and you didn't give up, and now look at your success. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. It feels very nourishing to be in this position now, to be able to continue to offer books about, you know, my first book was called The Moon Within. It was about menstruation. The second one was about immigration. The third one was about the 1965 Delano grape strike. And this new one is about a boy's puberty. And so I'm able to like write across all these different kinds of subjects that one way or another have an idea of making the world a better place.
Absolutely, and I do, finally at long last, we do want to talk about this wonderful book that you just wrote, Ultraviolet, and I know you do focus a lot on issues of, you know, young teens, things, identity, you know, social issues, mm-hmm. things like that, and it is a difficult time of life, but this book was actually, the whole idea came about because of a conversation you had with your son and his friend, so tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. My 11-year-old at the time, when I published The Moon Within, he was 11 and his friend was too, and they read the book. But because it's about puberty and, you know, first crushes and rites of passages, from a girl's perspective, they said, his best friend told me, "Miss Aida, when are you going to write The Sun Within?" And I was like, Aww. And then my son said, "Yeah, Mom, when are you going to write a book for me?" And I was like, well, he's got a point. And I'm like, this is a yearning that they had, and I heard it. And I, you know, I approached a couple of my male colleagues and said, "You guys have to write this story." And I left it at that. But then a couple years later, my son actually had his first, fell in love for the first time. And he was heartbroken for the first time.
Oh.
And luckily we're very close, and he was very candid with me about all of the things that were happening to him. And so I was able to witness that healing and that uncertainty and that doubt and the also like the turning of sadness into anger and toxicity and all this, you know. So I thought that was a really important topic to cover for young people, especially young boys who don't always, aren't always allowed to express certain emotions.
Wow, Aida. Well, and I'm thinking, too, this conversation is reminding me, you know, back in the 70s, I, you know, my cohorts, my other fellow boomers and all, we were living through the women's movement. We want equal rights. Mm-hmm. We want equal opportunities. All this. Well, the men kind of, you know, I think there were a lot of progress made for women, but men and young boys still probably are reeling a little bit from, you know, some of that. And I don't know if those issues, you know, that you address in your book have been explored nearly enough. So it's great to have a book that young boys can turn to.
Yeah. No, they haven't. They haven't been explored enough. And despite all of the incredible strides that you all made in the 70s during the women's movement, we still live in a patriarchal society that doesn't allow boys to really feel the expansive range of emotions that we have as humans. Right,
yeah.
Women are allowed to cry and allowed to be vulnerable, and their sensitivity is not necessarily, well, it is seen as weakness, but not as much within women's circles. But men those kinds of feelings are almost forbidden, and the only real acceptable form of emotion, intense emotion that we accept from men is violence. Right, so it's okay,
yeah.
When men are hurt and then they are violent, right? Like that, we understand, and we see it in our homes still. We see it on the streets. We see it on the world stage and the wars and genocides that we're witnessing at this very moment, right? These are all these unexpressed wounds, unexpressed healings that have happened, or non-healings that have happened to men. That have turned into hatred and violence against some of the most vulnerable people. And so, I mean, it's kind of like that's like the deep undercurrent of this story, but it's a story that's super light, right? It's just about a little boy who falls in love for the first time and sees everything in ultraviolet colors. And then he gets his heart broken and he has to manage his interior, you know, what's going on in his heart, but also at the same time he's going through puberty changes, and so he's managing that as well. So it's all about trying to figure out how to become a good ally, how to not be toxic, how not to turn to violence when you lose. Learning how to lose something gracefully is such an important skill, and it's not something that we allow boys to explore as much.
Well, what a wonderful topic and subject for this book and exploring that. And I do also want to let our listeners know that Ultraviolet is written in verse. So, and I know you're you know, an artist, and expressing your thoughts in a creative way is important. But why did you choose to tell the story through poetry?
Well, I'm a poet. So remember that book that Mr. Clark gave me? That was a book of poems. Shel Silverstein's Where the White Sidewalk Ends is a book of poems, and I started to practice poems, a lot of poems, in imitation of Shel Silverstein when I was in the sixth, seventh, and up grades, and that's what I've studied, that's what I've practiced, and so when I learned of this form, it's called a novel in verse, which is a series of sequential poems. That you read from beginning to end, but it is actually a novel. Ultraviolet is 300 pages. And so you read from beginning to end, but the way that you tell it is through the artful way that poetry expresses language, right? So you have lots of metaphors and colorful and figurative language, lyricism, figures. Sometimes I use formal poetry, like a haiku or concrete poetry. So all of these different kinds of tools that the poet brings to the page are used in this form. It's a hybrid, but it's really fun and really beautiful.
Yes, it is. And speaking of beautiful, you have such a beautiful soul, Aida. I'm so glad to be able to chat with you today. We'll get down to business here, but you have a website, so please let our listeners know where they can go to find out more about you, your work, and, of course, get their own copies of your wonderful books, because these are absolutely beautiful gifts to give to our grandchildren.
Yes, thank you. You can find my work at... any bookstore, really. You can order it from any of your favorite bookstore in person. Shop Indie. I always love to support independent bookstores. Or you can find it at your favorite online retailer. You just look up my name and look up Ultraviolet, and you should be able to find it. And then, but you can follow what I'm doing if you are on Instagram. I don't know how many boomers are on Instagram, but if you are, I'm at Aida. It's spelled AIDA _ writes, WRITES, and then you can follow me on my website. And you can join my newsletter if you like to receive things via email, which I don't bombard people, and maybe send 2 a year. So.
Well, that's good. And your website is?
Oh, Aida, just like my name, AIDASALAZAR, AIDASalazar.com.
Oh, Aida. Well, we have to close, but what a wonderful conversation, and I feel very blessed to have gotten to speak with you. So do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share?
Just that, as gatekeepers, as caregivers of young people in your lives, we have a choice, and exposing children to a wide range of literature, whether you endorse it or don't, is one of the most important things. Remember that, you know, our young people have these phones at their fingertips with far greater damaging information than what a book can provide. Books for children are meant to inspire, encourage, and help them dream. And so we have to support books and fight against the bans of books.
Well, those are lovely last words to close on, and I just want to thank you again. You shared your wonderful creativity, your commitment to issues of young people and of social justice, as well as this delightful book. Thank you for telling us about it, and thank you for being who you are, Aida. I'm a major fan right now.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to spend this time with you.
Well, for me too. And for you listeners out there, make sure you check out each of Aida's books. I'm a grandma, and I'm thinking that this Ultraviolet is going to my grandson because he's a sensitive type, and I'm sure he will appreciate it. And don't forget to visit her website. I confess I'm not on Instagram myself, but I'm going to her website, Aida Salazar, AIDASALAZAR.com. It's going to give these books and her website will give your grandchildren and you 2 many hours of reading pleasure and lots of food for thought. So until next time, this is Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio, saying I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.